I'm Sky Cooley.
And I'm Andrew Abernathy. And welcome to the Oddfellows Podcast, a podcast where we talk about transdisciplinary research and what it means at OSU and beyond.
All right, I'm ready, man.
How you doing today, Sky?
Doing good. How are you doing?
We're making a podcast.
I know. I've actually been bragging about it to a bunch of different people. And then I had one of our students remind me that she had a podcast as well and started going through her guest list. And I was like, whoa, we're just getting started. So what about the Oddfellows name? Where does it come from? You want to talk about it a little bit for folks?
Well, first off, we're two odd fellows. We're trying to introduce this in the fall of 2024, yes, where we're both starting transdisciplinary research fellowships at Oklahoma State University. I'm going to be a research group fellow with the Center for Humanities in the Peace, Nonviolence, and Justice group. And tell us about what you're doing.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. So I actually wrote mine down so I have it all like listed out. But it's the CAS Research Faculty Fellow for Strategic Transdisciplinary Initiatives. I am essentially the social science wing of that. Our humanities wing is Catherine Haley-Meyer, and then Yolanda Vasquez rounds out the math and science side of things. So it's the three pillars of CAS. Really excited to work with the research support team with Camellia Knapp and Rachel Eaton, Emily Talent. So excited about the group and all that we're going to be doing.
Well, that sounds good. All right. So moving on. So yeah, established we're both doing fellowships that specialize in transdisciplinary research. Sky, can you please, because I feel like people get a lot of buzzwords thrown around. Interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary, community engaged, transdisciplinary. Define for us, what does that mean?
Yeah, right. Like the transdisciplinary's got a lot of different ways of taking. I think the best way to remember it, or the big distinction between it and interdisciplinary, where you've got a bunch of different people from different units in the academy working together on a project. Transdisciplinaryism is about having some kind of industry partner, some kind of applied on the ground partner, whether that be a nonprofit, a community partner, some kind of stakeholder that you're working with that brings the work into action. So it's not just, you know, academics talking. It's not just academic research. It's also got this applied element where you're working with the community partner, where you're working with stakeholders. And I love that model. I really like the idea that, you know, that the research we do has impact. I think so often we get caught up in this, you know, this reputational game in the academy where you're trying to make a name for yourself and you've got this sort of line of research or you've got this methodology that you know how to work, that you lose sight of the impact. Like, what are the people in your community? How are they actually going to find out about this work? And so I love the transdisciplinary focus. I feel like it matches the land grant mission. And I'm just really pleased to see the push that OSU's had for it, to be honest with you.
I agree. I think transdisciplinary research is, I mean, I'm happy it's part of our strategic plan and what we're doing as a university, because I think sometimes people get cynical about research. They think, oh, you write an article, it goes in a journal and it gets cited a few times and then that's the end of it, right? But I like the idea of the community impact and the partnership. And I also think that's important to our land grant mission as a university.
100%. All right. So taking the idea of here's our podcast now, what's your vision for the podcast in terms of we're going to take this transdisciplinary mission that we've got, this Oddfellows podcast, sort of being the forward face of that. What would you like to see come out of this?
I want to help tell stories of interesting people in the OSU orbit who are doing interesting research, but interesting research that actually impacts communities. I think it's important to tell those stories and to come up with new ways to tell those stories. I think as academics, we tend to think of like communicating our stuff through publishing our research, which is only read by other academics. But by developing more mainstream products where we're talking about not only what we're doing with research, but why it matters to people, because I think the people behind the research is really important too. I know in my own experience, you know, often the things we're passionate about, our identities, our experiences shape our passions and why we do certain things. Researchers. So in addition to highlighting good research, I'd love for us to actually get to know the people behind the
research here. Yeah. I think of this as kind of a community network that we're building here with this. I think of, you know, there's so many cool things that are going on campus. There's so many people that are doing exciting research. I just learned about like this last month that we've got an innovation foundation. Like it's got a CEO. The whole purpose of the innovation foundation is to link, you know, faculty research projects over to industries to match you to folks that help you go out in the work, you know, take your work and make impact in the community with it. And, you know, I'm hoping that what we're able to do through the podcast is you create a venue for those kinds of discussions to link people in, show people what's going on campus, and then just sort of talk about, as you said, a day in the life, like what it's like to actually experience this job, do this job, and have something that, you know, we can have a community of folks in CAS that are interested in doing research, listening in.
I agree. I think it's going to be fun. We're going to hopefully launch this next year. We got 9 months of school. We're going to do 9 of these, one a month. Hopefully we can identify some really cool people. So the basic structure, we talked about this. The basic structure is going to be the same as a faculty appointment: research, teaching, and service, right?
That's right.
So we're going to spend about half of our time talking about research, right? We're going to spend a little bit of time talking about teaching.
And then our service, you know, we're supposed to have that, what is that, like 5% of our appointment? 10%?
Mine's 10%.
10%?
But it's a lot more than 10% of what
I was going to say, we'll spend like 25 to 30% of the show just going overtime on the service side, right? We're breaking a committee or two in here. It'll be great.
Subcommittees within our – okay, gosh, that'll be tough. Subcommittee of me and I. Well, today we're going to do 2 interviews. We're going to talk to a member of our OSU community, Monica Ramos-Vega. Tell us about Monica.
Yeah, Monica's super cool. So I met her. She reached out from OSU Global. She is the executive director of OSU Mexico and that office that they've got at the UPIEP campus. And she really is the link. She's the coordinator. She is the bridge between OSU and like 3 satellite campuses in Mexico. And they've got a lot of really cool programs going on. They've got this COIL teaching thing where you can you've got a class idea. You coordinate with a professor in Mexico, or they have a couple of different areas actually, and you can co-teach a class. You get students from over there. You do an online forum with one another, do like discussion boards like Flip. And so you have an exchange. So it's a real online asynchronous kind of class that you can build. And you're doing it with another faculty member. And the idea is that one, it gives students this sort of crossover, cross-pollination, you know, an international experience, really, truly, in an online classroom, which is cool. But it also fosters a lot of research collaboration, a lot of different kinds of project ideas, study abroad trips. And so Monica had reached out to both you and I, actually, about bringing in the Mexican student journalist and creating a research project with them, because they also have ties to the embassy over there. And so I think she's going to be – I'm really excited for everyone to hear the interview. I've obviously already done the interview with her. But we have a really cool conversation about all the different ways that faculty members can get involved with what they're doing over there at OSU Mexico. Talk a little bit about the kinds of resources that you've got, whether you're interested in doing a study abroad trip, teaching a class, or whether or not you want to do research that's, you know, they have like very applied practical needs that you can jump in and do research over there. And so everything from looking at the migration crisis that they're dealing with to stuff about particular, I think that they're looking for folks that are doing research with on African, Latin American descendants. Like they're looking for people that have specialties in some, you know, ethnographic type research and some essentially want to look at cultural context and things like that.
Well, that sounds great. Well, without any delay, we will get into Sky Cooley's interview with Monica Ramos-Vega.
Welcome, Monica. Really happy to have you.
Hi, Sky. Thank you for having me here. I am very excited to share with you all what exciting things we are building, circling, structuring, putting together in OSU Mexico. So thank you. Thank you. Muchas gracias.
We are so happy to have you. Well, let's jump right into the questions. What specific research collaboration opportunities do you see for OSU faculty through the OSU Mexico office in partnership with Mexican institutions?
Sure. I'm going to briefly give some background about what's OSU Mexico so that our listeners can have a little hint of what we are trying to accomplish. So 3 things very fast. First of all, OSU Mexico is a vision. Dean Kluver's vision about Mexico's importance for OSU overall global efforts, but also of its broader reach for Oklahoma and the U.S. In a second sense, it's an invitation to come and see, you know, an invitation for our community to build their own narrative about Mexico. Students, faculty, authorities, the invitation to build their own narrative by coming and see. And thirdly, it would be we are strategic facilitators for partnerships. And that's important to mention because we are really striving into building sustainable and equitable partnerships with Mexico. So in that, considering those three points, those three dimensions of OSU Mexico, then we can think about the many opportunities that we are trying to build, the platforms we are trying to put together, and the collaborative ethos that's behind those efforts. And I bring that because whatever OSU Mexico is able to achieve, it's because there's people, for instance, like you, the School of Media and Strategic Communications, that come into the initiative with a collaborative spirit, and we as a team are able to build from the base and up. So that's very important to have in mind, because that's the spirit that we're really looking into embed within our community. In terms of research, there are very interesting opportunities in the sense of the work that we have been doing. To give you an example, we have been able to start conversations to partner with CONCITED, which for those that are not very familiar with the research ecosystem in Mexico, maybe it's a bit more familiar for you, CONACYT, which is the National Council for Research in Mexico. That federal body has state arms in some states, not all states, but has one in Puebla, where our office is based. And they are particularly interested in having research of any discipline with three characteristics that are important for them. One is that it's short-term. Second is that it provides or informs decision-making for policy-making, better said. And that is, of course, relevant for that policy making. So they have a very strong focus on whatever topic or discipline of research is going to be financed or provided grants of any financial opportunity. It really has or brings an impact to those development topics in the Mexican agenda. And I wanted to start it from there because it means that as OSU is really involved in doing research that's relevant for the sustainable development goals, then for the Mexican agenda, we have a good bridge to start from.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, you think about the amount of trade and cooperation happening between the U.S. and Mexico, stuff like nearshoring, there's environmental issues, there's educational opportunities, as you mentioned, sustainable development goals. And I know from our perspective, just with our research group, MESA, that we very much enjoyed working with you, that you basically set up the process for us to have a research project that we were able to apply for. So it's really a great process, and I definitely encourage folks that are looking for research opportunities to really consider networking here with you, just because you've got such a great network. And I love that, you know, you mentioned bringing the collaborative spirit, looking for work that informs policy, and to keep in mind this stuff can be, you know, short term, but it just needs to be relevant work. Now, to move on to the next question, that I know that this is something that's really interesting to you, and so I'll ask you, how can OSU Mexico office support OSU faculty interested in developing either study abroad programs or teaching courses in Mexico? Can you talk about some of the stuff that you're already working on and ways to facilitate study abroad and teaching?
Sure. Study abroad faculty-led is the first type of student mobility or faculty involvement in Mexico initiatives that I can think of as the first step that we have been able to implement. The Honors College has already implemented two versions of a short-term program during spring break last year and this year. Spear School of Business, they have also implemented one for January. And it has really the power to allow students to start building that narrative from a very friendly approach to Mexico, led by a faculty member through our partner here, UPAE, with whom we have been developing these programs. We are very happy to work with them. Our students come back with a very positive feedback, and it provides faculty members to go around Mexico from any angle, you know, business, narratives, engineering, energy. I mean, it really can be as faculty members would like to approach. If they want to start recognizing this territory, that's why the office is for. We can certainly provide with the contacts here at UPAEB with some ideas of what's possible, of what has not been done that can be done, because there are networks. Our platforms, we work with UPAEB, but we also have other partner institutions strategically located in the territory. Take the Monterrey that you know, for instance, as another stance for the collaborative online international learning, which could be another way to introduce faculty and students to Mexico. Collaborative online international learning is developing a joint program embedded into your class that can be taught at any moment, but jointly with a partner here in Mexico. This also covers one thing that faculty members from OSU always ask us: how can we interact with local students when we implement our faculty day? And sometimes it's hard, because sometimes when they want to come, it's a holiday in Mexico, or it's the summertime and there are not as many students as it is in a regular term. So when it comes to COIL facilitates that interaction. And even if not all students are able to come to Mexico, they still will be able to have a very meaningful collaborative interaction amongst them. So COIL brings a lot of facilities, a lot of good outcomes, and faculty members can tailor it completely. Just to close on this, it's very important for me to bring into the conversation Dr. Nathan Horton from the Institute of Teaching and Learning Excellence, because he is the key leader facilitating COIL workshops for our faculty. And we have been partnering in this collaborative ethos that I mentioned before, and that's why we have been successful, because this is the first time that OSU is going to have a couple of COILs. And we are excited, because we know that when it comes to international education, once one faculty member is successful going through that pathway, man, we are on the other side. That's why we're so excited with Nathan, with Jeffrey Simpson as well from OSU Global, because we know that this is part of a cornerstone about the global initiatives and, of course, Mexico's initiatives.
Yeah, I think the COIL program is really wonderful. I've had the opportunity to sit in on and am a part of developing a course with COIL, and I'm really excited about it as well. I sat through one of the presentations, and it's exactly like you said. First of all, they showed the tremendous amount of students that have gone through the program and how many folks have been touched by this program, and the numbers are really impressive. And it's also like this exponential growth. You see that once you get started with it, it really does start moving. And also, just the plug, you know, Mexico also has a lot of beautiful places, some wonderful food. And so there's a lot of really cool stuff that can be done. You get these, you know, co-taught classes, and then you get to go over there and meet folks and you know, really engage and cross-collaborate and get to see the students working together. And so I think it's a beautiful thing. And I have led a lot of different study abroad programs all over the world, and I'm really looking forward to doing so in Mexico as well coming up. So let's move on to our discussion about service. In what ways can OSU faculty engage in service projects or outreach efforts with Mexican communities through the resources and connections of the OSU Mexico office?
Well, I believe that we have partnered, and this, of course, is part of the efforts that Dean Hoover has been doing with the right partners, because, for instance, UPAEP is one of the institutions that has a very clear, declare common good social impact identity. It's like within UPAEP's blood, the interest of having an impact from teaching, from research, from outreach. Currently, if faculty members are interested in exploring those projects with UPAEP, they really need to knock the door with our office, come ask an email, talk to Jeff Simpson if they want, if they are there in the campus. In Universidad Veracruzana, they have a institute or center, I can't recall exactly what, for migrants that come from the south to Mexico in order to go to the US. That's a very critical migration phenomena going on in Mexico for various years, but that it continues to become challenging. And Veracruz is nearby the southern border. So they have built capacities around providing the community with resources to deal with these phenomena, and also to support as possible those migrants that are trying to make their way to the north. That's another area where faculty members, if they want to explore, we could explore. With Universidad Veracruzana, there's also the interest to build a chair to do research, but also to become involved in topics related to Mexicans with African descent and indigenous people. So there are plenty. My advice would be to try to identify what in your research or what in your social outreach you would like to explore. Narratives that really provide us with an educated perspective over Mexico, but also over the US. And I think we really need to rediscover who we are. Culture is dynamic. Mm. Culture is never static. And it better than that, with how media work now, all the technology that we think brings us together, we really need to find those spaces for one-on-one. And that's what we are trying to be, because that's the only way you're going to be able to say, I was told this, but no, it's not like that when I was there. And I think that's what I would see as a huge accomplishment of this office, having our partners and having our community re-acknowledging who we are.
Story is so important. The narratives that you build, that's how you form community. That's how the myths that we share, that's how we form bonds, that's how we form culture. And all of this interactivity, in all of this exchange, one of the beautiful parts about technology is that it allows us to have these kinds of exchanges and build these kind of programs that really do become transnational. I love that you touched on the diversity of Mexico and just how rich and diverse of the peoples that are actually there. I think sometimes that gets lost on some of the scholarship that gets done. And also, I think researchers are oftentimes in the academic sense, or academics are always sort of reputationally concerned and always thinking about like where they can, do work that they know how to do, rather than that impact focus. And the idea that people can use their methodological and evaluative trainings to actually go out and have a real contribution and help with projects that are ongoing, I think is a novel thing for a lot of academics to realize. And I think that sets us up really well to close out the interview with this last question. What advice would you give to OSU faculty who are interested in getting involved with OSU Mexico office initiatives, but aren't really sure where to start? I know for me, this sort of fell into my lap. But for those folks that are, they aren't sure about like some of the language stuff, they aren't sure about like how they can get involved, what advice do you give to them? How do people get involved with the work that you're doing?
Well, I would invite them to fall in love with Mexico a little bit, just to allow those common narratives to relax and give space for a new one. If you are able to start interacting with the Mexican community in Stillwater, if you are able to start connecting with Mexican poets, writers, artists in general, I think that will give you a very, very good hint of the richness that sometimes we take for granted.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, and those embassy connections really are important. And just as a note here, we'll have all those links and email addresses and website for those who are interested up on the podcast. We'll also post them up on the Mesa website. Monica Ramos Vegas, the executive director again for OSU Mexico office in UFAEP. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate the insight and looking forward to getting more faculty connected to you.
Thank you. I would love to have more faculty members from CAS, of course. I've already have some ideas that I'll share with you. The fall is coming, so we have to start planning. Muchas gracias por estar aquí en este lugar.
Thank you so much. Bye, everyone.
All right, we're back, and it is the Odd Fellows podcast. So today in the studio, we have with us, Sky, graduating senior, Bethany Marino. How are you doing, Bethany?
I'm doing great. Honored to be here.
Madam President herself in the house.
President Emeritus, but yes.
Bethany is president of OSU's Strategic Communications Club. She likes to think of herself as former president. I keep reminding her she is still current president. I will alert
until
you.
May 11th. Oh my God.
All right. So a little bit about Bethany. Bethany is a Carrollton, Texas native who double majored in English and strategic communication. She's the outgoing president of OSU Stratcom Club, as we said. And she's also served as a violinist with the OSU Symphony Orchestra. If that's not enough, Bethany was also recently named the top overall senior by the OSU School of Media and Strategic Communications.
Well deserved.
Thank you.
Very impressive, Bethany. We're happy to have you with us today.
Thank you.
So, Bethany, how does it feel to be on the verge of graduation?
Very emotional. It's exciting because I don't know what's going to happen next for like the first time. And it's kind of scary because I don't have a job. But also will be nice to not have to do homework anymore. So pretty excited about that.
So when we last spoke, you had officially ruled out graduate school. Are you still dying on that hill?
Yes. No grad school. I've had so many people be like, grad school? No, no grad school. Maybe like 5-10 years down the road, something will change. But as of right now, no more school.
I understand.
Yeah, as the graduate coordinator in the SMSC, I would love to have you in our program, but I will also tell you that graduate school will be around after you get your professionalism under your belt.
Cool.
All right, Bethany. So when you think back at your time at OSU, what three words would you use to describe it?
That's a great question. Surprising. Can I do a hyphenated word?
Please.
Sure, yeah.
Character forming. I don't know if that's a hyphenated word, but
if you use it as an adjective,
yeah, we'll take it. Yeah.
And then this is not, I'm going to make it a hashtag, so it's one word, hashtag go Pokes.
Okay. Nice.
I like that.
All right. So what advice would you give to an entering OSU freshman today?
First of all, get involved in OSU Strategic Communications Club. If you're a Stratcom major, I would say get involved with the things you're passionate about, because that's where you find your community, whether it's church or a on-campus club within your major or not within your major. Like having people around you to support you is what makes college much easier.
Yeah, I like that. When I was an undergraduate, I didn't know all the cool stuff that you can do. I mean, I just went straight through. I had a job working. I didn't know all of the cool. It wasn't until I got into this role that I recognized the power of the clubs and all the different things you can do.
Yeah, and I didn't even join Stratcom Club until second semester, sophomore year, because freshman year was COVID, so.
2020
grad.
It was a weird year, man.
Weird year, man.
It's like, I'm always thinking back. It's like, we went through that. That happened.
We did. We survived that. We did.
I had an intro to Stratcom in the student union ballroom with 4 other people and the rest on Zoom. And Dr. Avance had like the pop star mic. It was. It was an experience.
Well, we've plugged StratCom Club at least three times. Would you please tell the listeners what is the club?
The OSU Strategic Communications Club is two previous clubs combined, Advertising Club and PRSSA, Public Relations Student Society of America. So we're just a club of mostly StratCom majors, but we take any majors that get together for like forming community within our major and learning more about the industry. So we have speakers. We've had several like panels and roundtables that are pretty fun. We go on our site visits. That's our big thing. We'll go to OKC or Tulsa and visit agencies, get the day off of school, eat some pizza at Empire Andolini's. And yeah, Sky will order like 13 pizzas for 13 people.
It's an experience.
Yeah, those are pretty fun. And we'll also just have some social meetings that are just fun. Like we just had our sandwiches in spring where we ate sandwiches in the spring.
And it links in well to what we're talking about with the podcast, this idea of transdisciplinary research, the idea of transdisciplinary teaching and service and having these impacts in community. And I think one of the things that the club does really well are those, well, just bringing in industry professionals to talk to the students as they get an idea of, one, what the career looks like, and then actually going on the site visit day to the jobs and actually seeing, okay, this is what my office would look like. This is the kind of place that I'd be working at. So it's fun.
And you
did a great job leading it, by the way.
Thank you.
Wonderful present. And I personally find it gratifying because sometimes I'm lecturing in class. I'm talking to wonderful students like Bethany here, and they're all looking at me like, this guy's making this stuff up. He's just talking. Like, he doesn't know what he's saying, right? And then we go out in the field and we meet industry professionals and they start repeating the things I've told them and they all look at me. And I'm like, you thought I made that up?
I've also made like a lot of cool connections through that and with lots of industry professionals that are always happy to like review your resume or like get on a Zoom and give you advice. I got to go to the Addies and volunteer at that. That was super
fun.
Very nice. So you just get a lot of good connections and have a lot of fun.
And what are the Addies? Can you explain to people what that is?
Yes. As far as I understand it, they're like the advertising awards sponsored by the AAF, American Advertising Federation. And I went to the Oklahoma or OKC, I'm not quite sure, chapter. So it was pretty bougie.
Nice. Yeah, nice. Always nice for the students to have the bougie experiences, right?
Yes.
Like getting part of those little industry events is really fun.
For sure.
And for anyone listening, hire Bethany.
Hire Bethany. Seriously.
Please, I would love an interview. Thank you.
Okay, Bethany. So we're going to finish our podcast today with a segment we're calling Odd Questions.
Okay.
Okay. So here's how this is going to work. All right. We're going to ask you 10 questions today. Okay. Some of these were written by Sky. Mm-hmm. Some of these were written by me. Some of these were written by generative AI.
Oh.
Okay. So there are three questions that we're going to ask you today that were made by generative AI. And at the end of the day, I want you to guess which ones are AI.
Okay.
How do you feel about
that? I'm like actually pretty nervous. You say odd questions and I'm like, oh.
I'll start so you get a feel for it. Or do you want to start?
No, you start.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Okay. If you could have any animal power, what would that animal power be that you could have?
Okay.
Or what's just, or spirit
what's
animal. Or
animal power?
Okay. So, you know, like Spider-Man could shoot spider webs, right? You know, so if you could take the power of any animal, or what would be your spirit animal? You can answer it either way.
I'll go the animal power route and be pretty basic and say flying would be cool.
Okay.
So I guess a bird.
So you'd have to have wings for that, right? Like you'd walk around with like big feathered wings.
I don't know. I haven't figured out the mechanics of it yet, but I'll keep brainstorming.
All right. Question two. If your life had a theme song, what would it be and why?
Oh, my goodness. If my life had a theme song, I'm just like, I forgot every song that ever existed. Okay, right now, actually I have one. There's a band called The Arcadian Wild, big fan. They're like a folk band. And they have one called The End. And it's kind of about like endings and like, but like knowing you'll see people down the road. And that's like, I've been listening to that a lot right now because of graduation. So that's my current life theme song.
Okay, well, I had to check that out.
I had to think about that one, yeah.
All right, Sky.
Okay. If you could date any character from a movie, who would it be?
Oh my gosh. I know what my answer is, but it's so niche.
Go for it.
Pretty sure just my roommates have seen this movie. There's this movie called Rosalind, and it's like they took a character from Romeo and Juliet and then made a totally not based on the play weirdly modern slash not version of the movie. And the main love interest in that, I would date him.
Okay. All right, question number four, Bethany. Are you ready for this one?
Yes.
Can you fold a fitted sheet?
I think so. It's not like perfect, but like, yes. Do you have one for me to fold?
No, I do not. No. That would actually be really fun.
Because I can't fold one.
I mean, like, it doesn't look perfect, but I think I personally think I fold them fairly well. So, okay. Yes.
Do you believe in magic?
That's a complex question.
Ooh, let's hear the answer.
So I believe in God, and I believe in certain things. Like, as part of my religion, we believe in certain things that are like, let's say, dangerous. Slash could open you up to demons, not to get in the weeds. But so I guess kind of, because like we get taught like things like Ouija boards and stuff, like don't mess around with that stuff. I don't know if you count that as magic.
I love it. That's a great answer.
In-depth answer, but
no,
that, yeah.
It recognizes the attachment of the consciousness to the, you know, the all powerful. That's awesome. Yeah. Great answer. Yep.
All right. Question number six. What is the best smell?
Oh, this is kind of weird. Like, new building.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know what that smelled like.
Not the Paul Miller. My church and the music school are both, and the, like, the McKnight are both fairly new buildings. And there's something about, like, the smell of, like, I don't know if it's, like, the fresh wood or what, but, like, it smells really good. New building.
Okay, new building. Right, Sky, number seven.
Best experience through college.
Oh my gosh, best experience through college. I don't know if I have like one top one. It's just like so many little moments are coming to mind. I guess like generally anytime I did something like spontaneous with my friends, those are like my best experiences, whether it was like something a little bit bigger or something like going to Sonic on a Tuesday night. Those are my best experiences in college.
All right. Question eight. If you could have any celebrity as your college roommate, who would it be and why?
Celebrity as my college roommate. Well, probably someone that's not too famous or we'd never have any peace. And hopefully a celebrity that's clean. Not one of those ones that came out in those articles where they were like, we don't shower. I don't know if you guys remember that.
saving water, right?
Is that a thing now? Are people not showering anymore?
There was like an article that came out. All these celebrities were like, oh yeah, we shower like once a week. And people were... Anyways, okay.
Yeah, showering's important. You definitely want.
Yeah. I would like a roommate who showers, yes. Maybe like an author. Because they're like, you know, they can be like famous without being so face known. Now I have to think of an author that's alive today.
To be fair, I didn't say living celebrity, so.
Oh, well, yeah, they also probably wouldn't smell very good if they were dead. Would they, like, come back to life as my roommate? Am I thinking too much about this?
Yeah, I think you're overthinking it. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'll pick someone totally random. Emily Blunt. She seems cool.
She does seem cool. That Fall Guy movie, it seems really cool.
I want to go see that. I texted my dad. I said, after graduation, we're going to Cinemark.
Yeah. Told my wife the same.
Sky?
Okay, curious to hear your answer on this one. This one's less odd. But what changes have you seen in the field of strategic communication in your time in college? What's changed in your 4 years?
This is going to be an answer that everyone hears. Everyone's talking about AI now. So at first I was like super anti-AI. I was like, it's not good. And like, I just didn't think it was ethical. But now from like the site visits, so many people have been like, it's a good tool. So I'm trying to learn how to use that more. I feel like TikTok's gotten bigger. I know TikTok was around my freshman year, but like TikTok and like other social media platforms, they're always updating stuff and changing things. And social media is such a big part of communications.
So. Social media platforms make you start feeling old after a while, right? Like, there's some that I'm like, okay, I know they exist, but you know, there's no way I'm ever
getting on that. They actually just integrated AI into like Instagram search bar. It's actually kind of pissing me off.
Same. I was like, I was searching for something and it said search with AI. It's like, but I don't want to search with
AI.
There's
no other option.
I just want to search.
I'm like, I want to put something in and just see what comes up, not like have a chat with a bot. Because it, like, opens a chat with the Meta AI. I'm like, I don't want that. The other day I was trying to make a reel, and I was looking for that Taylor Swift song, Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? So that's what I looked up. And it said, I think you mean Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf, a popular children's song. And I said, that's not what I mean. Thank you.
Yeah, they're obviously training that AI system, right?
And yes, some of those
things. But you're right. And that it really has the focus on AI, rightfully so, has been tremendous in the last year and a half. And learning to iterate with it, you know, I think that they need to have, honestly, a dashboard for all the different kinds of AI systems, because I'm running like at least three or four now, and having a dashboard would be nice. So yeah, that's been a huge change.
All right, last odd question for you today. If you could have one completely useless superpower during finals week, only during finals week you get this one useless superpower, what would it be and why?
What qualifies as useless?
Turning yourself into Jell-O.
Oh my gosh. I'd like to just, like, poof, like, HTO or Sonic into my hand whenever I want it. Does that count as useless?
Yes, I think that does.
Okay.
I would love to be able to poof Sonic in my hand. That sounds pretty good.
I just, like, lately I've been going to Sonic or HTO almost every day.
HTO, it's a great product. Great product.
You hear that? HTO, send the check.
That's right. We need the check.
Yeah, Sonic, you too.
Sponsor
I think we mentioned Empire Slice House.
Empire Slice House.
Send the checks.
Yeah,
send the checks. All right, so we asked you 10 odd questions. I don't know if you've been keeping a tally in your brain. Which ones do you think were written by AI?
Were the AI? I'm wondering if the AI questions were the weirder ones or the less weird ones. What did you ask it? Am I allowed to ask?
I said, what are funny questions to ask a college student on a podcast?
Oh.
I asked ChatGPT 3.5.
Funny students ask a college question. I think the one about dating someone from a TV show.
Nope.
Oh no, that had you written all over that one.
Okay. Wait, do I get three yeses?
Okay,
I'm gonna go the opposite way. What's your favorite smell?
No, that's all me.
Oh.
Darn. I just think you're AI, I guess. Oh, my gosh.
I love that you said new building for that. I said apples when he read it to me.
What do apples smell like?
I don't like a delicious apple. Home.
Oh. Celebrity as a college roommate.
That was one.
Heck yeah.
Very nice. Mine was the changes to the field. That was AI. And the best experience in college.
Oh. Okay. Changes in the field of AI?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought that was you. Yeah. Guess I can't
We're cool
tell.
That you answered it, AI.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we have for this episode of The Odd Fellows. Bethany, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you next time.